gentlemen, boys and ghouls, step right up. Behind this curtain lies a ghastly concoction of delight, horror, fantasy, and terror. Your every wish is our command. Your every whimsical desire brought to life. But I'm warning you, there's always a price. Welcome to the greatest show on earth!
Welcome to this week's edition of the Kurt and Jeff Show. I'm Kurt.
I'm Jeff.
We're lazy. We're just going to record now on the handheld recorder, not the laptop. It actually came out better last time. We went out and...
This is my boom, boys. Just fucking around. Bored.
Yeah, we got... Getting a late start today. We went right after work to a couple of garage sales. Dad only had some comic books. I ended up buying a shitload of trade paperbacks and hardcovers and stuff. Spent $14. Got over probably $150, $200 worth of comics.
Yeah, just the trade comics, which is usually a series of comics put together, like four or five episodes that cover a storyline. They put them all together in one thick trade paperback with heavy gauge paper and everything. And he's got a couple of them that are $20 and
$30,
$16, whatnot, and those right there added. I bought three of them with the Hulk for $1 a piece, and two of them were $16 and one was $20. So I mean that adds up. I just got $56 worth for $3, mm-hmm. And you can't beat that.
Hell no, that's going right in my collection. We're gonna go ahead and pick up where we left off last time. Finish up the Andy series.
Mine's going straight to the bathroom. I'm gonna read it when I poop.
Yeah, that's the best time. That's what I do with all mine. It's good pooping material.
I couldn't tell you how many comic books I've read pooping.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
I used to take baths and read them.
Nah, I doze off. I'd end up dropping it in or something.
I'd come close a couple of times, but I never dropped them. But yeah, I'd stack them up there on the toilet seat and lay in the bathtub and read.
My Calvin and Hobbes collection is really good to read on the toilet, too. Because they're short.
Mm-hmm.
Spaceman Spiff pooping.
Well, the first episode of the Andy series went up today, so probably end up having four or five of them total.
Butt hurt.
Yep, the butt hurt edition.
Oh, yep, there's all my... We went to a used bookstore also.
Mm-hmm.
Found all the Left Behind series there, and I knew I was missing some. I got six books. I couldn't remember which ones I had and didn't have.
You got seven. You're all the way up to Indwelling.
Do I have seven total?
Yep, seven total.
Left Harvest, Revelation Force...
Apolloan, or something in between Apolloan and Mark, maybe Assassins.
Harvest. I think that's Nikolai.
Yeah, it could be Nikolai.
So I don't have Assassins.
Don't have Assassins, or Kingdom Come, Glorious Appearing. Those are the last two.
I think there's one more in there, too, that I don't have.
There's 13 total.
And I've got 1, 2, 3,
got six.
4, 5, 6, 7. So I got half the books.
It's not a bad series. I read them all at one time when I was in prison. I got them all book on tape.
I read part of the first one.
It's good up until, like, the last four books are boring. I didn't like the last four. Once he gets, Satan takes over, you know, the indwelling and stuff, after that it gets kind of boring. It's not as good.
Yeah. I started it back in my Jesus freak years.
Mm-hmm.
And bought all those books, and then never... I said I'll read them, but haven't got around to it. Spirit hasn't moved me.
I want to jump back a little bit, too, because I noticed when we were listening to the thing, I said I was going to tell the story about the guy at Funko Land that killed his old lady. And we never got around to killing
about
it.
Yeah, we were going to talk about that. And for a future episode, we are going to cover the Kurt and Jeff show, the Jesus Freak years, because we both went through our little Jesus Freak phases. Actually, I had two of them.
I had one till I was about 18.
I had two. The first one was way off the deep end. I was just this side of street preaching. Second time wasn't nearly as bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had my fill of them fucking people. So, anyways, okay, we're back to the Andy years.
Yep. Okay, well, I was working with this guy, and like I said, he went to jail for beating up his old lady. That's why he got fired from out there and all that. And now, I mean, he wasn't like... he come in beat up too, so I think they're beating each other. And yeah, she worked at the mall over at Spencer's. So
he Rick come on in, leash.
Oh yeah. He came in one day, and it was one of the days I was swamped. I was by myself. We had a bunch of trash in the store. And he's like, hey, you know, you want me to help take out the trash, pick up some stuff around here or whatever? I was like, sure, no problem. So he goes back there, starts cleaning up the back room. And while he's in the back room, I didn't notice it. He opens up one of them 64s. Remember when they had the 64s that was different colors? They had the green one and the orange one and purple.
Yeah, he said the green one.
He opened up an orange one, took it out of the box, put the box back on the shelf, put the 64 in with the trash, took the trash out and stole it. So we didn't find this for like a week or so, but within like a week or so, we noticed it was missing. So, you know, first thing Craig asked me, he's like, you know, who's been in the back room? And I was like, well, you know, this guy, I don't even remember what his name was. It's like, he was back here helping take out trash. It had to be him. So, since he was an ex-employee, we had his contact info and all that stuff, and Craig decides he's going to call up the house and tell his old, you know, find out what's going on. So he calls his house up and gets his girlfriend on the phone. And he's like, you know, hey, did he recently bring home a 64 that was orange? She's like, yeah. She's like, she just gave it to my 10-year-old son for his birthday present. Craig's like, well, you know, he kind of stole that from the store. He's like, we need to get that back. And she's like, well, you know, he's had this for a couple of, you know, for a week now or whatever. And he's, you know, he's been playing it. And he's like, we don't care. It's stolen. It's ours. Bring it back.
That's what disappeared about a week ago.
Yeah. And, so she, you know, well, okay, I'll talk to him about it. We'll come back in, whatever. So she ends up bringing it back in. And, you know, we chew his ass out, you know. You know, you're supposed to be helping. I even bought him lunch for helping clean up the, you know, stuff. Now, granted, you know, I stole the money to buy him lunch, but that's beside the point. You know, I am, you know.
Do as I say, not as I
yeah,
do.
Yeah, I'm a hypocrite. I don't give a shit.
So, a hypocrite?
Yep.
What the fuck is a hypocrite?
It's one of the Crips and Bloods, you know. Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Like it's a female? Fat female? A Crip? A hypocrite?
But yeah, you know, so, you know, he brings it back stuff. Well, then he starts bringing stuff into the store, trying to sell it into the store. And it wasn't like games. He brought me he had a shotgun, and he had one of them old camcorders, you know, the huge, like, movie camera camcorders.
Right.
So, you know, I bought both of them off of him. Well, a couple of weeks later, you know, I get the police coming in. And they're like, you know, we just busted him, picked him up. He said that he sold some stuff to you. And I was like, well, yeah, he sold me a shotgun. And that's all I said at first. And he's like, well, we need to get the back. And I was like, well, I paid $40 for that. He's like, well, if you give it back, you know, we can give it to the owner. He'll give you a reward and all this stuff. But I didn't see no reward, none of that shit. You know, you
fucking lying.
Fuck me over. But then they were asking about the camcorder. I was like, no, I didn't got that. No way in hell I was giving that back over. So, you know, he goes to jail for a little while. Well, he gets out of jail and he comes back in the store. And, you know, you could tell he was, like, down. And, you know, we're fucking with him and stuff. I was like, you owe me for that fucking shotgun. I was like, I want no money. He's like, well, I don't know. You know, stuff's going on now. He's like, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. He kind of starts to cry a little bit. He's like, you know, you heard about his wife's name was, like, Julie or something, or Jill. And he's like, you heard about her, right? And I was like, no, what? Did she finally figure out what kind of fuck-up she married and she killed herself or something? And he starts crying. And Craig's like, what the fuck's going on? He's like, she's dead. I was like, what do you mean? She's like, she got hit by a car. And he's like, she was going across some strip mall, him and her walking together, and she said that an old lady was driving, was on a bunch of prescription drugs or whatever, and hit both of them, and she ended up dying. We're like, bullshit. You know what I mean? It sounded like a made-up story. He's trying to get sympathy, trying to get some
money.
Probably
shoved her in front of the car.
Exactly. So, we're like, bullshit, whatever, you know? So he leaves. And, you know, we're sitting there talking. I was like, I don't buy it. And he's like, she works at Spencer's. Call over there and ask and see if she's at work. So I grab the phone. I call up Spencer. I was like, hey, is Julie there? And they're like, oh, you didn't hear? I was like, no, what's going on? He's like, I hate to tell you this, but she's dead. I was like, what happened? She's like, well, apparently they were fighting, her and her boyfriend, and they were walking across the street, and an old lady was on prescription drugs, and a big old Cadillac come flying down through there. And they said that he was, according to what they said he was holding her, shaking her, you know, they're fighting in the street. And her back was to the car, and he waited till the car got there, then stepped out of the way, and he got clipped on the hip. But she went full back, slammed her head on the back of the car, and killed her. And we're like, oh, yeah, I couldn't believe it and stuff. And he, like, sure enough, like 2 or 3 weeks later, he was arrested and charged for murder. Because he was holding her there, and that's what all the witnesses said. He held her in front of that car until the car come up there, and then stepped out of the way, tried to get out of the way, and didn't try to pull, you know, he didn't push her or nothing, but he just let her go.
He held her there.
He held her there until the car got there, yep. And he could see it. So, yeah, I was fucked up, like, I know a murderer.
You surround yourself with some fucked up people. I was wondering what I'm going to end up doing. Probably killing somebody.
And then we'll jump ahead a little bit, you know, right after, you know, we all quit, got fired from Funko Land and everything. It's right around this time we'll get into the Bean Dick story with him and his old lady.
Bean Dick.
Yeah, Bean Dick. His name was Shannon. Her name was Rebecca.
You brought him up before. Why'd you call him Bean Dick?
Andy started calling him Bean Dick, and we didn't know why. Craig's like, I just want to know, does it look like a bean or does it taste like a bean? And if it tastes like a bean, how would Andy know?
We know how Andy would know.
Yeah, I'm sure we would. But, you know, they're living up here. They lived up on McKinley and stuff. And they were playing EverQuest with us, too. And, you know,
maybe Bean Dick butt hurt him.
Maybe. And we got, you know, like everybody up there at Funko Land, we were family. I mean, everybody hung out together off work and stuff, too.
Right.
So we're hanging out. We're playing EverQuest and stuff. And I started going over there. And I was talking to his old lady. She really got into the EverQuest. And he met some lady online over in Washington State. He was going to go over to Washington to shack up with this other lady that he met. They were going through a divorce and all that stuff. But he was still living with her and the kids. So okay. He was going to get on a bus and go to Washington. So I'll give you a ride to the bus station, you know. We're driving over there. And I told him as we're driving, like, dude, you know I'm going to fuck your old lady while you're on. Oh, whatever, fuck you, you know. I'm going to get me some. I don't care. All this shit. Sure enough, we drop him off at the fucking bus station. We go back to her place. I popped in Rowdy Girls, a trauma movie, because she liked all the weird trauma shit. And it's nothing but nudity. It's got Shannon Tweed in there, you know, like Gene Simmons old lady. It's nudity and all this stuff. So I'm rubbing her stomach, going up, playing with her tits and stuff, and undo her pants and start to pull them down and shit. And she's like, you know, first she stops. She's like, you know, I'm really tight. She's like, you know, how big is your dick? Like, I fucking
does it
thumb.
Matter?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I got my thumb, you know. So
it's as wide as my leg.
Yeah.
But it's my thumb.
I was going to tell her, so she's like, okay. So I started fucking her. I fucked 4 or 5 times. Andy came over one time. I was like, hey, you want to go fuck Bean Dick's old lady? He's like, sure, I ain't got nothing better to do. So we get Andy over there. He fucks her in the ass and stuff. And it's funny because he fucked her in the ass. She goes and cleans up, comes back downstairs and starts fucking me again because I hadn't come yet. Well, Andy goes up and pisses. He comes back down. And I'm laying like cockeyed on the bed. It looked like a T. You know, she had her legs spread and I was fucking her, you know, from behind. And he's like, how the fuck do you fat people fuck? So I just whip the cover off and show them. So they're banging her like a T.
That's what you get, you smart ass fucker.
So yeah, he fucked her and stuff. Then Bean Dick's coming back because the old lady stuff didn't work out in Washington. So he's coming back. So she's like, well, you want to go pick him up at the bus station? I says, yeah, no problem. We go to the bus station, pick him up. He gets off the bus. I shit you not, he had not stepped off the bus. I walked up, hey, dude, I fucked her in the ass. That's exactly what I said. He's like, oh, fuck you. He didn't believe it. We're fucking driving back. She's sitting in front in the car, and I got my hand over her on the side. She's holding my hand and shit. He's looking at me. He's like, what the fuck? Well, we get home, and she wouldn't fuck him. She made him sleep on the couch. So he calls me up the next morning. He's like, what the fuck's going on? Did you fuck her? I was like, yeah. I was like, you know when
dude,
she comes?
Repeatedly.
Yeah, I was like, you know when she comes? She puts her legs out straight and starts shaking really bad when she comes. Oh, he got mad over it. He's like, hey, no way you can fucking know that without fucking her. It's like, well, I fucked her. It's like, so did Andy.
Hey, you know, dude, like, you just took off to Washington to fuck some other lady.
Mm-hmm.
Then you come back because it didn't work out, and you're pissed because your old lady fucked around while you were gone fucking somebody else. Really?
Dude? And they were nasty too. I mean, I went out one time. They had them bean burritos at Taco Bell. They're like 69 cents or whatever.
What would you do? You fucking nasty women.
I don't give a fuck. Hole's a hole, man.
Oh, good lord.
Plus, I can shower when I'm done. I don't care. I get the stink off me. But
one of these times you're going to get one and you're going to shower and your dick will fall off.
But no, we get over there and I went to Taco Bell and I bought like 20 bean burritos for everybody over there. And, you know, I bring this big bag. I mean, this shit's heavy. And I shit you not, I go back like 3 or 4 days later. That same bag of bean burritos is sitting next to the computer down in the basement. Not in the refrigerator, nothing, just sitting there. She walks over, grabs one, heats it up in the microwave and eats it. Man, it's been sitting for like 3 days. I mean, they're hard as a rock. You pick one up and they're like, you can hand them it, a rock. They soften up a little bit when you put it in the microwave, but... Yeah.
Dude, you do that, you tell a story like that again, I'm getting my spider out and sitting right next to you with it.
Yeah, it was nasty. So we'll hop back in where we're at. Like I said, you didn't hear the end part. Like I said, I ended up moving out of that apartment over there. Like I said, I'd fucked Andy over. I took his computer, sold it to Bean Dick, and then eventually I got it back from him and gave it back to Andy.
The burrito thing stuck in my head.
Oh, yeah.
That's just gross.
So,
especially if you had sour cream on it.
No, I didn't have no sour cream. That's only, if they had sour cream, ugh. But,
just think you kissed that mouth.
No, I never kissed her on the mouth. I don't think I ever eat her out or nothing. Spit on my hand a couple times, get it wet. That's about it. But,
you stuck your dick in the same place a diseased burrito.
Oh, was. Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind that.
Like a zombie dick and shit. It's fucked up.
So, me and Andy, we start hanging out again. And he's staying at his parents' house, I'm staying at mine house. You know that shows up on there.
Yeah, I know.
And I told the story to you before about where, you know, we're at the birthday party. I kicked in the fence and blasted the guy's back windshield of his car and all that stuff. He was driving real fast.
Kinda, sorta.
Yeah, it was on one of the old podcasts. I won't retell that one.
Yeah, I don't even remember what's on the old podcast because
you don't remember.
You know what? I shoot these and I don't listen to them.
I listen to them every once in a while. I'll go back and listen to them. They're fun. They're great.
I should. I don't like the sound of my voice.
What else are we doing there? Oh, that's when he met Susan for the first time. Okay. We can tell that. This is the chick that he's with now. They're not technically dating, but he's living with her. She's paying his bills, giving him money, stuff like that.
She's volunteered to come on our show. We will get her on the show.
We'll get her on sometime. Now, I get a phone call from him. He's like, yo, dude, I just met this chick over at the gas station around the corner from my mom and dad's house. He's like, yeah, we went over there and, you know, I was buying some stuff and I helped her take out the trash and she blew me out behind the building. I'm like, cool. He's like, she lives right down the road down here on State, you know, County Line Road. He's like, come on over. We'll go over there and tag team her. Well, okay, cool. We'll go over there. So, that became a habit for me and Andy. We started going over the house all the time, at least once or twice a week. It'd be me, Andy, Jeremy, and then Susan would be there, and she had her friend Erica that was there. And now Erica liked Jeremy. Susan was basically just with Andy. She didn't want anybody else, but she would still, you know, we'd have like orgies. We'd fool around, mess around and stuff, all nude in the living room. But like I said, Susan mostly just fucked Andy. Erica was mostly with me and Jeremy. So, wow. Finally one night, Andy comes over and he's like, you know, hey, Susan wants to have a three-way with us. He's like, come on over and, you know, let's go over there and do it. So I said, no problem. He's like, make sure you have a condom. So I got some condoms and went over there and she gives Andy head and I fucked her. Well, she gets up and goes to the bathroom. While she's in the bathroom, I guess her husband or something was out of town or they're going through the divorce or something, I'm not sure. But she had her husband or something with her. So I take my condom off and put it inside her pillowcase. It's like, let them find that shit, you know. Fuck it. You know, it's fun, so. So, you know, I fucked her. Well, then, like, two or three nights later, I was like, let's go back and fuck her in. She's like, oh, I don't know if she'll do it again. She's like, hey, that was a lot of fucking work. He's like, you know, I don't think she enjoyed it. I don't think she liked it, you know, stuff like that. Because one thing with me and Andy, you know, back when we were fucking Rocky, there was a couple of times that, you know, we'd be fucking, Andy would get off, and I'd be ready to, you know, I hadn't got off yet, and she'd want to stop. You know, she only wants to be with Andy. I'm just, you know, I'm taking the sloppy seconds, you know. So... Lately, I'd been there. As soon as if me and Andy's fucking somebody, I make sure I get off first. So that way, I got my nut off. Fuck Andy. You know, I'm getting mine.
Right.
So that's how it was with Susan. I got off real quick. So that way, you know, I didn't get left out. So I bugging, let's go back over. Let's go back over. He's like, look, I tell you what we can do. He's like, let's drive down the alleyway behind her house. You let me out. I'll go in the door, and I'll go in there and get her in her bedroom and fuck her. And you can stand outside the window by her bedroom, and watch through the window. Watch me fuck her. Fuck, I don't give a shit. Something to do.
In other words, I'm going to get my nut off, but you're not. Fuck you.
Oh, I jerked off all over the outside of the house. I didn't care.
That was his thinking.
Yeah. And I told him, too. I was like, you know, dude, if a cop shows up, I was like, I'm going to hit the side of the building. That way you know, and you can come out. We had it worked out. He's going to come out and say, hey, you know, this was a Voyager thing, and we knew it's okay. You can do that. you know, something like it. So I didn't give a fuck. So I was like, if a cop shows up me jerking off outside your window while you're fucking her, I'm screwed.
Right.
So we had that worked out. But yeah, I got up there and they had a little wood pile out there. Or they had something by the shed out back. I pulled it up to the window, so I get up there and look in the window. I sat out the window and jerked off while he fucked her. And she didn't know about this like 2 or 3 months ago. And we're sitting outside. We're at a bonfire. And we're sitting there talking, and I was like, you remember that time we come down the alleyway and you went in there and fucked her, and I climbed up there and watched through the window? And she looks at me and she's like, what? And he's like, yeah, I kind of remember that now. He's like, I ain't thought about that in years. So, but like this, I said, this was our, you know, once or twice a week thing. We'd go over to her house and have like orgies, you know? Everybody fucking messing around. Not actually having sex a lot of times, just being nude, playing with each other, shit like that.
Right.
So, this Erica chick, she was living in apartments up here on off Cleveland. And she was getting ready to leave. She was moving somewhere. So I told Anna, I was like, fuck, let's go over there and fuck her before she leaves. And Susan didn't like him fucking her. Susan would get kind of jealous whenever they'd start messing around. So Anna's like, sure, let's go do it. Fuck it. So we go up there, middle of the night one night, knocking on her door. She lets us in, everything. We go in there, start messing around. And she goes to the bathroom, and Anna's like, I was like, dude, tell her we want to do finger cuffs. You know, from the fucking Clerks movies. It's like, what's that again? I was like, she gives you head while I fuck her from behind. You know, like a finger cuff. So she comes out and he asks her for it. She's like, yeah, go ahead, fuck it. So I'm fucking banging her from behind. Andy's fucking sucked off. Nutted all up in her. And she moved away. Like, I haven't seen her since then.
Surprise, Susan.
I'm sure she'll listen.
I'm sure she will, too. Someone's going to get his ass knocked out.
Shit happened in her past, you know, how we all fuck people. And again, we're going out, we're doing hoe hunts and stuff like that. I wish I had my notes. I actually had a bunch of stuff wrote down. I left it at work. Well, the stuff I wanted to talk about. I hope Carl goes through that thing, too. I hope he sees that.
I was going to say something. Fucking Carl come across that.
Like hoes that have all their names. And
so what's the next step after speechless? Because he's already speechless.
Yeah. Oh, Ronnie, come out. Hi.
Hi, honey.
Just waving.
Say hi, honey. Oh, come on. You can talk. You fucking peed on this thing last week. She's making
She's
a face, isn't she?
No, she went to bed. She closed the door. So, let's see. What else were we... And like I said, we're going out getting hoes and stuff. You know, I told the story about the one...
Back.
Go ahead. I told the story about the one with where we were all over at the house by the fairground where we pulled like six of us just pulled a train on and we kept running around going out back door watching through the window and shit. As the next
person.
Yeah,
I didn't hear that story.
Yeah, it was on one of the podcasts. We talked about Pat on there. He went in there and tried to talk to her. Said we don't have to fuck.
Oh,
left a nasty condom on the floor. We made him pick it up.
Yeah, you told me about that. Yeah, I do.
Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and pause till he gets back. Okay, we're back. Jeff had to go pee.
Pee-pee. pee-pee.
Right around this time, this is when, like I said, Andy was dating Amy at the time, and they moved in right across the street from my dad's house, where I was living. And they got a little duplex over there. It was him and Amy moved in, and then Jeremy and his girlfriend. And, like I said, none of them was, like, really working at the time. I don't remember how they were getting the money or whatever, but they had moved in. Jeremy supposedly owned a construction plant.
So you need to start hanging out with people with jobs, Kurt.
That's why I hang out with you.
Yeah, but you tell me you don't like me, so...
I hate your fucking ass. But,
Now I'm going to tear pages out of the book.
So, they move in across the street, and I'm going over there like every night. At the time, I was working at Modineer, and it's a metal stamping place up in Niles. So, you know, Andy's asking, he's trying to find a job. I was like, well, I can probably get you in up there if you want to. So I get him in up there working, and he starts working out there. Well, Andy hates the job, you know. So he worked there for probably about 2 months. During this time, like I said, you know me, I'm a bad influence. I'm a bad influence on you. I'm a bad influence on everybody that I come around.
Yeah, you're not a bad influence on me.
Oh, yeah. I try to be. But Andy was falling for it because like, he's dating Amy at the time, and I'm still wanting to go out and get hoes.
Right.
And I kept telling you, I go there, like, tell her we're going doing something, you know, D&D, or we're going over here, or whatever. And I was like, well, we'll get a hoe, and I'll pay for her to give you a head while I fuck her. And he's, okay, finally, I'll go out and do that every once in a while and shit like that. Right around this time is when I started ghost hunting, too. I got in with the other group, and I started introducing Andy and Amy to it. I was like, let's go, you know, do the ghost hunt. I got a digital camera, and we're doing all that stuff. Well, they're living across the street. Well, Jeremy and his old lady get into it over something. And she moves out. So now, Todd basically moves in. And this is a good story with Todd. Like I said, I don't think you've ever heard this one. We're sitting over there, and they invite...
I'm listening and leaping through the books at the same time.
Yeah, he's going through some comics, ones we just bought today. But we're sitting there, and Amy or somebody invited one of her friends over. And Todd really liked this girl. He was trying to get fuck her or whatever. But he's drinking, so he's drunk off his fucking mind. And when Todd gets drunk, he had the big habit of, he was always calling everybody his bitch and, you know, all this stuff. You know, he talks down to everybody like he was a big badass, trying to make himself important. So, their bathroom's upstairs. So, Todd goes up to the bathroom. He's been shit-talking me all night. I tell the guys, I was like, watch this when he fucking comes down. And he comes down. He's got a bottle of beer in one hand. He walks on. He just turns a corner into the living room. And I'm sitting on the couch, you know, next to the corner. He walks in just enough. And he's pointing at her. He's like, you know, I reach over, I grab his pants, and these pants are like three times too big for him. Yank his pants down, and it grabs boxer, and everything goes down. Todd takes a step forward, and, you know, kind of stumbles, so I open-hand just smacked him on the ass, hard as I could. And he goes stumbling in there. Now, normally, Todd, you know, he, like I said, he had a huge fucking dick. It was like a baby holding an apple. And it was. Normally, Todd would be like, oh, whatever, you know, hey, check out my big dick. But he was trying to get with this chick, so he was kind of being embarrassed about it. He was soft, he wasn't up to snuff. You know, he's a grower, not a shower. You know, stuff like that. So Todd's trying to get his pants up, he's pulling them up or whatever, and he's like, yo, you fucking asshole, he's calling me names and stuff. I was like, you're my bitch, Todd, get over it. Oh, that set him off. Then he's like, I've been to prison, I'm nobody's bitch. He's like, I'm my own man. And he's trying to shit talk back and forth. I'm like, you fuck you, bitch.
Going to prison don't make you no man.
No. So he...
makes your butthole loose.
He tried... it can. He draws back his fucking beer bottle. He's got an empty beer bottle. He goes like he's going to swing at me. That's the thing with Teddy. He's always trying to swing beer bottles at me. So I step in there. I punch him right in the muscle here, you know, in his arm. Whereas, you know, if you flex, nailed him right in that muscle. And he drops... the beer bottle goes flying back. Knocks the clock off the wall. Goes behind the TV. Andy jumps up, and, you know, Jeremy jumps up and everything, and I grab Todd, throw him down to the ground. At one hand, I'm holding his hands up above his head, and I'm sitting on basically his belly area. Like, you're my bitch, Todd. I was like, go ahead, call me daddy. Call me daddy. I'm not letting you up unless you call me daddy. And I was like, yeah, or you can call me God, whatever, I'm not picky. And I'm not, fuck you, get off me. And he's cussing and everything else, and he's trying to get Andy and them to help. And even Amy's sitting there, she's like, dude, just call him a daddy, get him off of you, you know, come on. And they're picking on him back and forth. Todd finally gets all mad at it, and I was like, dude, you're my bitch, get over it. When I said that, he spits at me. And you just hear Andy and Jeremy, oh, and they just sat down. Like, oh, motherfucker. Yeah. I grab both his arms, I put his both his hands in one of my hands, use the other hand to grab his head, and I pull his head up. I go down and lock in on his forehead. Todd starts bucking, trying to get up. I wrap my legs around his stomach, roll over. So that way now if he's trying to get up, but he can't use his hands, he can only use his feet to get up. And I'm sitting there, I'm holding his head down there, I'm sucking on his forehead, right between his eyes. You know, like I said, these pants are like three times too big, so now his ass is hanging out. His front's all still covered up. I'm wrapped around him, holding him in, you know, like a bear hug, you know, with my legs wrapped around him. And his ass is hanging out with my big old handprint right on his ass, red welt on his ass. And I'm sucking and sucking, gnawing on his forehead. This goes on for like 30, 40 seconds. Finally, I let him go, shove him up off me, get up. Like, you're my bitch. He walks in, he's got this big old hickey right on his forehead, right between his eyes. Huge fucking hickey. He comes up and he goes, washes his head off, and he can't get it off. He's like, fuck it, I'll just wear a hat. I was like, yeah, really? Here, I hand him my baseball cap. Puts it on, it's down just enough where even with a hat on, you still see it. And everybody's picking on him, you know, Jeremy and them's laughing at him, you know, yeah, he's your bitch and all this stuff. And you could tell that I could have ass raped him right there in front of them people, and it would have been less a violation than what I did. Because, you know, you can pull your pants up and hide the gaping asshole. You can't hide that fucking hickey. You know, no matter what you do, you can't hide it. So he goes to bed, and Amy's talking. She's like, "Yo, I had hickeys that last 2-3 weeks sometimes." So he's getting.
And there's no one more deserving of a hickey on your forehead than Todd.
So we're sitting there, and we get up the next morning, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm not done humiliating him. Like, let's go to Walmart." So we go to Walmart, and he's got a hat on, he's got it pulled down, and he's so proud of him because we go all through Walmart, nobody notices, nobody says anything. We're standing in the checkout lane, and he had actually mentioned to me, like, "Dude, ain't nobody even noticed it. You know, I got it down." I looked at him and I said, "Hey, Todd, what's that shit on your forehead?" Right in front of the lady ringing the shit up. Todd's like, "Oh, God." And he's like, "Well, I burned myself with a curling iron." I'm like, "That don't look like a burn to me. What do you think?" I looked right at the lady. So now Todd's got to take his hat off and show her.
A curling iron.
There's teeth marks in it. There's teeth marks. She's like, "It looks like a hickey to me." So we get in the car. And we start driving again. And Todd's like, "Where are we going? We're not going towards your house. We're not going home." "Oh, no, I thought we'd go visit your mom." We drive to his mom's house. He's like, "No, I'm not going in." He's like, I'm walking home. I was like, "That's fine, but you know we're going to say we gave you a hickey in your forehead, and your mom's going to think even worse than if you just walk up there and show it to her."
Dude, Borders fucked this one up.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking asshole.
Got a sticker on the back. Well, we walk up there, we walk in the house, and he walks in, and as soon as he walks in, he looks at his mom, just takes his hat off, and shows it to her. And you just see his mom just do the sigh, puts her head down, shakes, like she knows we did that to her. Yeah, the first time I ever met Todd's mom, we walk in, I walked up, they're like, "You know, hey, Barb, this is Kurt. Kurt, this is Barb." I was like, "Hey, what's up? Wanna go fuck?" First thing I said to her, "Hey, what's up? Wanna fuck?"
Said that to who?
Todd's mom. So every time we go over there, I tell him how hot his mom was, and I always hit on her and stuff. She was one of the guys. I mean, she didn't mind. She liked it. I kept telling Todd, like, "You know, one day you're going to wake up in the morning, and you're going to walk by your mom's bedroom, and it's going to be laying in bed naked and ask you for a glass of water." I was like, "I'm just going to lay, can you get me a glass of water?" But yeah, like I said, that happened across the street. Well, not long after that, like I said, Jeremy and his old lady got into it. It was Valentine's Day, and he had went out and bought like rose petals and like 2 dozen roses and all this shit, had like a path of roses going up to the bed and roses on the bed and all this stuff to fuck her and all that. Only thing I remember, that they got into it over something. I remember him coming downstairs with a big 2 dozen roses, throwing them up against the wall, "Fuck you, get out of my house," kicked her out. So I don't know what that was about or anything. I know there was a fight or something, and it wasn't too long after that he left. So, like I said, Andy's working with me, and we're working at Modineer. Well, he didn't want to work. I mean, that was the whole thing. He kept saying he was sick. Yeah, he got bronchitis or the flu or something, I don't know. Didn't want to go and started calling off. He's still on his probation period, you know. And at one point, he went in there and said that his dad got in a bad motorcycle accident, and he had to go home. That was a lie. And then he told me, I guess, Jeremy had threatened to kick in the door and rape Amy. She was pregnant at the time. And, you know, he was trying to be home to protect her and all this shit. And, you know, it wasn't long he got fired out there, quit, whatever. And, like I said, I mean, it kind of makes me look bad because, you know, I got him the job. So, they move Todd in. Todd gets drunk one night, sleeping on the couch. And, like I've told it before, Todd likes to piss himself. So, he pisses all over the couch. I get up the next day, I walk outside, and there's smoke pouring out of their house. And Todd's out there with a burn-up mattress from the couch. He pissed on the couch, took the whole pad off the couch, threw it in the dryer, and caught it on fire. That's Todd for you. So, you know, like I said, they lived over there for a while, and they were doing the ghost hunting with us at the time. We were with the other group. They went to several of the hunts and investigations with us.
Ooh, a hardback.
Oh, yeah, I got 3 or 4 hardbacks today. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was fun over there. It was fun having them across the street from me because, like I said, you could just walk over there and hang out, whatever we want to do. We were playing D&D at the time. Now, out of all of Andy's girlfriends, I got to say, probably Susan is the one I like the best. Because, like I said, Amy was real close. I liked Amy. But, well, one of the things, too, I mean, none of the others ever fucked me, but Susan did. It helps.
That scores brownie points.
Yeah, brownie points, you know.
Literally brownie points. Brown eye points.
Hey, no, I never got her in the brown eye. I mean, I fingered it, but that's about it. it'll take a little bit before I go in. Scratch and sniff.
Tickle, tickle. Really? You gotta sniff it? You know where your finger went to? You gotta sniff that?
You gotta be sure.
Good lord.
But,
why is your corn stuck to my finger?
There's a piece of corn on the end of my dick, dude.
Bitch gave me corns. Be glad I wasn't hot and spicy peanuts.
Uh-huh.
And it burns.
But yeah. Like I said, Susan's the type of person that, like I said, even if she wasn't dating Andy, I could call her up and be like, hey, you know what, there's a Comic Con or something, we want to bring the kids, want to hang out, whatever. Right. I could hang out with Susan. Amy was kind of like that, but wasn't to this extent. Like I said, I liked Amy. She was cool. They ended up having their kid. They wasn't living across the street at the time. They had already moved. And I remember Andy called me up. He's like, yeah, she just had the baby. It was a little girl. He named her, again, fake names all around. He named her Anna Ray, which was a name that he had used on a D&D character when we were playing D&D. Amy's ranger was named Anna Ray. So, like, you named your kid after a D&D character? He's like, no, we just always liked that name. So,
yeah, okay.
You know, hey, it's a cool name. Well, he's like, yeah, she's in the hospital and stuff. You know, I was like, what room? I'll come up and visit you. So, you know, normally what do? When you go visit somebody who just had a baby, bring a gift. You bring something for the kid. You know, kids like dolls.
Well, it's too late for condoms.
Yeah. It's a lot too late. But, so, you know, I got one of them Living Dead dolls. I'll bring that to the kid. I walk in with this little Living Dead misery doll in a coffin, porcelain doll. Like, that's for the baby. He's like, only you would bring the kid something like that. You know, start them out young. So, like I said, they had moved out, and right around this time, Andy and Amy quit dating. It was not too long after they had the kid. Andy had actually moved in with Big Andy, another guy that we know that's named Andy. And again, we played EverQuest with him and all the online games, all the MMOs, we were all playing together. And he actually lived right down off Arnwood, where that train wreck site was, where the big train crash and they had all them people dead. And his house was actually had some activity and stuff going on in it. So we ghost hunted his house a couple of times and stuff like that. Not bad over there. Well, they get into a fight one night. Andy calls me up. Now, let me jump back a second. Whenever Jeremy moved out of the house when they're living across the street and was threatening everything, we decided we wanted to go up to Lunker's and get some bear mace. Figure if he's going to fucking kick in the door or anything like that, we're going to spray his ass with bear mace. So we go up there, and bear mace is like $40 for a can. And they had these little regular mace cans down there for $20. So I was like, let's get a couple of those. Those will do. So we got these cans of mace and shit. And we've been carrying them around. I always kept one in my car, and Andy had his can. Well, him and Amy's fighting back and forth, and she's like, you know, he's like, come get all your shit out of the house, you know. I set all your shit outside on the lawn and all this. She went to a bar or something with some old boyfriend or some boy she knew or something. And Andy got mad about it, got jealous over it. I was like, you know, get all the shit out of my house. He's like, your shit's already out on the lawn. He's like, I didn't throw the baby stuff out. That's inside. She's like, well, me and my friend will be over to get it. And he's like, don't bring his ass over here. You bring him over there, I'm going to beat his fucking ass. So he calls me up, you know. I go over there, you know, I got his back, whatever. Fuck it. I'll watch a fight. You know, if he gets his ass kicked, I'll pull him inside when it's over. You know, I won't let him ass fuck him or nothing. I'm good. I'm a buddy like that. You know, if you get your ass kicked, that's fine. I'm not going to let my ass fuck you, but I'll pull you inside when it's over. You know? And,
go over there. Grab him like they did in Constantine. Grab by the wrist and fucking drag his ass.
So, I get over there, and sure enough, she fucking brings this dude over to the house in a truck. And I pull up, and again, I mean, it's petty. Throwing somebody's shit out in the yard, that's just tacky, you know?
Right.
But he did. He had all her clothes and everything thrown out in the yard. So they start loading all that stuff. She's like, where's the crib? Where's the baby stuff? He's like, that's still inside. Well, the guy starts to go in, and he's like, you're not coming to my house to get it. He's like, Amy can go in. I'll help her carry it out. Kurt can help her carry it out. You're not coming in. You need to get out of here. And the guy's shit-talking him the whole time, you know, under his breath and stuff like that. Well, he's yelling at Amy. They're arguing back and forth. He's calling her every name in the book. She's yelling right back at him. And, they carry everything out, and they get everything in the truck, and he's helping her carry the crib out. And she said something to him. He called her a cunt or something, some name, bitch or whatever. Next thing I know, this guy's running at Andy with a hammer. got a hammer up in the air. Get the fuck away from her. Get away from her. You know, you come near her, I'm going to beat you. You see, he pulls his mace out, walks in, just like, spraying him in the face. The dude drops the fucking hammer and runs, calls the cops. Well, the cops show up, and the guy's up there, he's trying to be, he's like, yeah, it smells good, it smells good. He's like, I got his shirt up there trying to, you know, smell on the mace. He's like, you're just a bitch. And the cops, what's going on? He's like, he came at me with a hammer. I was like, hey, he did come at him with a hammer. I was like, Andy was cussing and calling every name in the book, but the guy came at him with a hammer. And when they saw that, they found the hammer laying up in the yard, the guy has dropped it. So they're like, well, I can take you both to jail, or you can both leave. So they left, and we went inside. Lighting a cigarette. Oh, yeah, I'm not editing these episodes either. They're going up right after the Andy ones, too. I'm just kind of a break.
Okay.
I think we got to the point now where we don't need to edit too much anyway. We talk enough, we can fill in space. So it's not too long after this that Andy starts dating this chick from IGT, this old ghost hunting group that we're in, the original one. What had happened is we went on several ghost hunts, and I was taking Andy along with me. And during one of the hunts, Andy had fell asleep in the van. And he's got his head packed, you know, back, mouth open, snoring. And I take some close-up photos of, like, his mouth and his nose, like, up his nose. And me and April was kind of having fun with it, you know, with the pictures. And we made a post on the IGT boards, would you date this guy? And, of course, this chick, yeah, I'd date him. He's kind of cute, you know. So he started dating this chick from IGT.
This is a dude that starts the whole zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, back to that.
So,
random shit.
Yeah, she's living in Munster, Indiana.
What the fuck is this?
I don't know, another trade. I hadn't heard about it, I grabbed it. So he's fucking her and he's driving back and forth to Munster all the time, taking the train.
Black and white, I can color it in with crayons.
He's going on the train back and forth to see her. I took him up there one time, but it's like, she was more of like just a bar slut. The only thing she wanted to do is go to the bars and drink and shit like that. And we'd meet her at a bar, they'd go and fuck in the car for a half hour, 45 minutes, and then we gotta go home. Like, I'm not driving an hour and a half so you guys can do it and sit in a bar.
Dude, you snuck in a fucking Batman hardback. You
hell yeah.
Asshole.
That's a good, that's something, I've never seen that one either. Killing Time or something?
I didn't even see this one.
Mm-hmm.
You hit that good, you cocksucker. Life after death.
Life after death. So, you know, I thought about it, you know, we went once or twice. Me, him, and Jeremy went over there a couple of times to see her. This was after he was with Amy. And he starts dating her and stuff, and this is right at the end of the IGT stuff. And he was telling me a story one time, I guess.
Penguin.
Now, we talked about, I think it was on our second episode when we did the ghost group story. Whenever I left the group, they told me I couldn't go to the banquet. And they refunded me my money for the banquet, but everybody else that had paid for the banquet ahead of time, they wouldn't refund their money. So half the people in our group had left the group already and already went over to IPS. But they had already paid like $40 or whatever to go to the banquet down in Indy, so they had to, you know, go ahead and go to the banquet. So Andy was one of the people. So he goes down there with April and them, and they're in the hotel, and he said that something was going on with the chick he was dating, Sarah, I believe was her name. She had went into a room with another guy from IGT, and they had shut the door and locked it. And Andy had already been drinking, so he was drunk. So he goes down there and starts beating on the door of this hotel, demanding to be let into the room. Hang on, I'm taking a hit of my cigarette.
I'm watching my lizard over here. He's fucking charting around like he's on coffee or something. Oh, there he goes, sticking his tongue out all over. He's on the hunt.
Looking for some food.
I got that little fern thing that's suction cupped on there, and mm-hmm. He's just climbing all over, and that thing's tongue is going out all over. I have to go get him some crickets. Yeah, his tail is coming back in pretty good.
Well, he said at the time, Mike, the leader of IGT, said he was like three doors down, opened the door, and looked out to see what was going on. He's like, what's going on? And he's like, you need to shut your mouth and get your ass back in your room before I go put you in the room. He said, Mike just shut the door and went right back in. But yeah, he dated her for a while, and then he ended up breaking up with her. And right
IGT
after he broke up with her...
the biggest crock of shit.
Oh, they are.
I never had to mess with them.
Mm-hmm. But, right after he broke up with her, we decided we wanted to move in and get a place together again. He had moved in with this tattoo artist guy. He was like the best one in Indiana. He's been ranked in a bunch of the tattoo magazines. Did really good work, supposedly. And
he lived with Andy?
him and his girlfriend owned the house, Carrie Ann. Carrie Ann owned the house. Her mom had died and left her a lot of money or something, okay. And she bought this house. Her and him broke up. He was still living in the house, but he was getting ready to move out, and Carrie Ann was going to rent it to Andy and Nick. And Nick was going to live in the basement. Andy had a bedroom upstairs, and there was one more bedroom, and he asked me if I wanted to move in.
Okay.
So, sorry, I'm smoking. That's why I'm taking breaks in there.
I'm still staring at my lizard.
So, at this time, I didn't have a job, but I was working on eBay. And that was how I was bringing home all my money. Now, we'll get into a little eBay scam. Again, you cannot do this anymore. They've really cracked down on it. When I did this was a specific time, beginning of, the stuff. You could get away with it, not have any real trouble. What I was doing is I was selling comic books on eBay. And what I would do is I would go out and buy like whole boxes off eBay. I would buy a long box of 300 comics for like $50. I would list them individually on eBay for like $4 or $5 a piece. And then if they didn't sell, I would put 25 comics in a grab bag. And I would sell a grab bag, $20 for the first one, $15 for every grab bag after that. And I would tell people, randomly inserted in these grab bags is an Incredible Hulk 181, the first Wolverine, or a giant size X-Men number one, or an Iron Man number one, like a $1,000 comic. I say they're randomly inserted. I didn't have none of them in them grab bags. There was no way in hell I was going to give away a $1,000 comic. But they didn't know that, so they were buying these grab bags left and right. I was selling 3 or 4 or 5 a day doing this, making a shit ton of money.
Yeah, because that was about the time we met up and started hanging out together and stuff, was when you were still doing that, because I remember you told me about that scam. Like, you fucking kidding me. And this, this is why I will never buy anything offline that's not a reputed dealer.
And the great thing was, then what I do is, like, every month or so, I would use my other account and buy one of my grab bags, and then I'd leave feedback, oh, wow, I just got, the Hulk 181 or something like that in there. So that way it appeared to my feedback. Well, then I even got even slicker. What I started doing, I started making a list of all these comics. I'd have like 30 or 40 comics, anywhere from like $200 to $1,000 a piece. And I would list them on there and say, these are the comics that are available in the grab bag. And every week or so, I'd go in there and edit the auction and cross out 3 or 4 of the comics that, somebody's already got. Mm-hmm. So it made it look even more legit, And I was doing this, and like I said, so I told Andy, I'll move in with you, it's no problem. Over there off Miami Street, so I move in again. Okay, everybody, we're going to go ahead and put a pin in it right there. Check back in with us next week as we start talking about the second time that I moved in with Andy. Good episode, a lot of fun stories, stuff that we remember. Have fun, we'll talk to you guys next week. See ya. Heading for some place that ain't in a dream. I'm heading where no mortal man's ever been. And you may never see my face again. With the eyes of a fool and a heart full of fire, I'm climbing a mountain that keeps getting higher. I'm playing a game where no one's supposed to win.